The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord. I think I would ask you to write a 3-page literary exposé on the first reading. We'd have 200 different essays. So many different ideas that can be taken from this symbolic book of Daniel. I'll just give you one idea that occurs to me, is praying for the grace like Daniel and like the saints and the prophets to be aware of the way that God speaks to us. That would be a general interpretation that I would give to this 7th chapter of Daniel. How God speaks to us. Now God is eternally present to us. And as the Greek poet says, in him we live and move and have his being. Wonderful book I invite all of you to read by Brother Lawrence, Living in the Presence of God. Great little book. You could read it probably in about 2 hours. And what he basically says is that holiness depends upon our being aware of God's presence. Because God always exists. God never will cease to exist. And God always did exist. So how did God speak to you? Does God speak to you through nature? If you were to go off where my parents have a home, or my mother has a home, in New Hampshire, you're walking through nature, right away you're aware of God's presence. But you're living in a city like L.A., it's more difficult. That's why Pope John Paul II, in his document, Dies Domine, on the Day of the Lord, says that on that day, it's not a bad idea to take a nature walk. Take a nature walk. So if I were to ask you, what in nature seems to lift up your mind most to God? So maybe no one has ever asked you that question, so I'm asking you that question now. Is there anything in nature that elevates your mind to God? Good, I was about to say the same thing, but knock out the set. She said sunset. I would say the sun. I like the sun, because the sun, when it's rising, it makes me think about the risen Lord Jesus. When the sun is ascending, it makes me think about me lifting up the host, the elevation of the host. The sun, it's not a triangle or a rectangle, I think. It's circular, right? It makes me think about the host. And you know, you don't have to have a doctorate in physics from MIT, you know that sun is, it's a ball of fire, that's what it is, right? So it makes me think about the Holy Spirit. Remember when the Holy Spirit came down, the apostles, he came on in what form? Fire, right? Came in fire. What does the Holy Spirit do to those who are open to Him? He enlightens our intellect with what is called the truth. What about our heart? He sets our heart on fire. So having a certain poetic, mystical bent to my nature, I have it, I look up at the sun, and right away, my symbolic mind kicks into gear. It makes me think about God. So we should pray that nature, the beauty of creation, and the beauty of nature will lift us to behind the beauty of creation is the Creator Himself. Amen? Yeah. So beyond the pale of nature and creation is the Creator. And obviously the most famous saint that was able to do this was, of course, you can tell me, of course, St. Francis, right? Hello? Yeah, St. Francis. He wasn't a pantheist. Don't say that. That's heresy. But he was able to see in Brother Moon and Sister Sun, he was able to see that these were created by God. And the essence of God is beauty, wisdom, and truth. So God speaks to us through nature. But God speaks to us also through circumstances. In the spiritual exercises, I like to tell the story of a very famous rich man in Spain in the 16th century who lost his wife. And he was a rich man. He was a duke. And he admired the Queen of Spain because she was beautiful, intelligent, charming. And what happened is this queen, she died. And there was a funeral procession of this queen heading toward the church, and it took a long time for the coffin to arrive. They didn't have funeral cars back then. And when the coffin popped open, this beautiful woman was being eaten by worms. Ah. One of the most beautiful women in the world was being eaten by worms, her face. And what does he say? Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. You know what he did? He left the world. He entered into the company of Jesus. He studied philosophy, studied theology. He was ordained a priest. He became one of the first Jesuits. And he was the third head of the Jesuit order, Ignatius, Polanco, and not Francis Xavier. You got the first name right. Francisco Borja. San Francisco Borja. St. Francis Borja. Never heard about him, huh? Well, now you know. Now you know a new saint. But it was through circumstances, through the death of this beautiful queen, and being eaten by worms. He said, what's the purpose of pursuing fame and money and fortune if that's the fate of all human beings? What's the purpose? He understood what is called principle and foundation. We are here for one purpose, to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, so that we can get to heaven. Many of you have been trained in Ignatian spirituality. What is your most difficult prayer? I know what it is. It's your daily examine. You've been told to do it many times, but that's the one prayer that we tend to skip because we lack humility and courage. It takes humility and courage to do the daily examine. We don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror. We don't want to. It takes a lot of humility and courage. But one of the purposes of doing the daily examine is that by going through the day, we're aware of the many times that God has been knocking at our hearts. So if you do not... I was listening to a talk on the life of Teresa of Avila this morning. She says, we have to learn from the book of experience. Experience is a book. So you rewind your past experiences. You see the ways in which God has been present, and ways in which we've been walking away from God. Some of you have read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I hope you have. The most important book in Catholicism in the past 50 years, probably, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Ratzinger, JP2, 1992. Now, we as oblates, when it came out, we actually made photocopies of the whole catechism. We preached on it the whole year. I don't think any of you were here when it came out. We spent the whole year making photocopies, explaining the catechism of the Catholic Church. Because that's the best interpretation of the Bible we have as Catholics. But there's a number that says, reading the Now of God. What the heck is that? The Now of God means reading God through circumstances. The Now of God. Reading God through circumstances. So let's pray for the grace to be mystics. Don't let that word scare you, okay? Pray for the grace to be a mystic. You know what a mystic is? It's a person that's living in the presence of God. It's a person that's open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. It's a person that's not so absorbed with materialism and hedonism and sensuality, but he's living in God. As the Greek poet says, in him we live and move and have our being. But I think it would be incomplete if it didn't end with this last thought. We've been speaking somewhat like a poet this morning, giving you a lot of symbolism and its interpretation. Let's go from symbolism to reality. Symbol would be if I take a picture of you people and I put it on my Facebook. But here, before my eyes, it's like Coca-Cola. I got the real thing, okay? You got the reality before my eyes. You've been talking about symbolism. Let's talk about reality. In a few minutes, I'm going to be taking a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine. And I'm going to be lifting up that piece of bread and lifting up that chalice that has wine. What do we have there? Is it the symbolic presence, or is it the real presence? Are you Lutherans or Catholics? Are you Anglicans or Catholics? Are you Presbyterians or Catholics? At least I heard a few of you. Yeah? We're Catholics. So when I lift up the host, you've got the real presence. How fortunate you are that you believe. If people would only believe in John chapter 6, we'd have to build churches bigger than Joel Osteen, right? In Texas, you ever see those big churches, the mega churches? We'd have to have the Joel Osteen churches or the Saddlebrook churches. And there wouldn't be enough Catholics to enter into the church. So let's pray that we go beyond the symbol into the reality. And the reality is that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist in my hands, but he's going to end up in the very depths of your heart. Amen.